the coming years, the United States Treasury will get $14 billion less in tax revenue because of a sweetheart tax deal with General Motors, better known these days as Government Motors. Sounds a lot like crony capitalism to me. Here to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business Network reporter and my colleague Dennis Neal, and the Agenda Project founder Erica Payne, and Reason Magazine's editor-in-chief Matt Welsh. Are you surprised that the government would give a deal like this? Remember, this is using pre-bankruptcy dollars as a carry-forward write-off.
Yes.
For a post-bankruptcy income.
Now, for many years, companies that lose a lot of money are able to do tax loss carry-forwards into future years. So I got no problem if GM is being treated the same as every other company. I don't want to punish them for the bailout. But in this case, when you read the papers on it, you see that GM actually should have given up all of that benefit because it filed for bankruptcy and it walked away from $30 billion in debt. And that's the penalty you pay.
Okay, that's
but they're not paying it.
That's the point, Erica. When you go through bankruptcy, you can't take the losses that you had before bankruptcy and use them against your taxes after bankruptcy unless the government owns 80% of your stock, right?
Well, you know what? I mean, the fact is you're 100% right. And I usually hate government subsidies. And I think half the reason we're in a lot of the mess that we're in is because we've given subsidies to big companies who don't need them. This is a little bit different, though, in that this decision about what they were going to do with the past losses was part of the entire deal that they put together. And so what you want to look at is, was that entire deal successful? And GM is 30,000 cars away from being the number one car seller in the entire world today. So
oh,
that was a successful.
That's because people holding $30 billion worth of bills to GM didn't get those bills paid, and people who loaned money to GM and became secured creditors had their loans wiped out because the bankruptcy court changed the rules because the government wanted to be a majority shareholder of GM. How is that even remotely fair, moral, or constitutional?
It's not legal. It's something that people forget, but George Bush, our previous president, tried to pass through an explicit bailout for the auto industry and General Motors. It failed. Congress did not pass it. And so then afterwards, then President Obama said, fine, let's just use TARP. It is illegal. In addition to that, what we have now is that the IRS, in a very quiet maneuver in 2009, said any company that we bailed out and then went through bankruptcy doesn't have to follow by the usual bankruptcy laws that everyone else does. And the reason behind that is obvious. They want to be able to sell this as a great story for the American taxpayer. It's not. It's a disaster, and they're lying to us about
it. This is political cover. They are still fighting a rear guard action to defend what was a bad deal for debt holders, what violated contract law. It's bad policy.
Do you really think that this was a good deal for the taxpayers, for GM to be 30,000 cars short of a majority?
They welched on
billions that they owed.
Listen, this is a fantastic deal. We almost lost an entire industry. GM was in, the tank.
Yes.
Shouldn't industries that mismanage themselves fail and somebody will pick up the parts that
they deserve
to
die?
You know what? We did it for the banking industry, and we didn't have the executive comp rewriting. We didn't have the rules change that they needed. In this case, and I don't think in many cases,
Let me get Matt in. Doesn't this just prove the futility of government bailouts, Matt? How do they decide who to save and who to let die on the vine? Who to make pay taxes and who to say you don't have to pay taxes?
Not just the futility, but the perennial nature of it. Where do you stop that logic? We've just heard, hey, they did it for the banking industry. Why not the auto industry? Okay, well, why not crossing guards?
Why not the banking industry fail and the auto industry fail? That's the question.
There's a difference between bankruptcy and liquidation, it's a question of economic ignorance on people who think that bankruptcy equals liquidation.
We
did not bail out the banks so that banks would survive. We gave them temporary money, $700 billion, so the entire worldwide financial system would keep functioning, and they paid back all but $50 billion of it. And the other $50 is when the Obama posse came in and gave it to hundreds of little tiny banks that weren't a threat to the system.
All right,
so the
latest thing that the government wants to do to the banks is it wants the banks to partially forgive the principals on loans, on mortgages that the government has given to homeowners who owe more than their property is worth.
$20 billion.
Will this move help the housing market? Because because every other government marketing scheme hasn't helped at all.
Hell no, it will help the housing market.
So first of all, I have a huge problem with how much intervention there has been in the housing market, and I believe that that led to a huge bubble that caused a big problem. I think we should eliminate Fannie and Freddie. So let's start there, where I agree with a lot of the people that we're talking to tonight about this. The problem with this is that that $20 billion is either going to be levied against them in fines because of the bad way that they went about doing the mortgage foreclosures,
or they're going to forgive the loans.
Matt, so here's what the government is going to do. Just like when Joe Biden said to BP, give us $20 billion or we'll take it from you, and BP said, to whom can we make out the check? The government is going to say to the five largest banks in the country, write down your mortgages. Tell these people to whom you loaned money, who can't pay you back, that they now owe you less than you loaned to them. Question, will any of the banks have the chutzpah to resist this government shakedown, or will they go along with it just to get the FDIC off their backs?
Oh, they'll go along with it in a heartbeat. I mean, you see the size, the concentration of the five largest banks in this country throughout the last 3 or 4 years during this financial crisis that started with mortgage finance, by the way. They have a better market share now than they did 3 years ago. So, of course, they're going to go along with it because it's a classic case of corporatism.
Look,
really, they're just going to... Go ahead.
One big problem, guys, is that this is in some ways a further backdoor bailout of Wall Street investors, because the buyers of mortgage-backed securities that kind of pay based on the mortgages being paid on time, they aren't going to lose a dollar in this. Instead, it comes out of the bank's pocket. The bank did nothing wrong. The Comptroller of the Currency said very few people were pushed out of their homes, and we forget that everyone whose home was underwater, they bought a home they could not afford, they don't deserve a bailout.
Just because a home is underwater, by which we mean more is owed on it than it is probably worth in the market, doesn't mean that the government needs to interfere, because if you still have a job and you're still paying the mortgage and you don't intend to sell that house, this is just a paper deficiency. It doesn't affect your ability to pay. It doesn't affect your lifestyle. Question, why is the government getting involved where its services aren't even needed?
Where the government is getting involved in this case is to say to the banks, you have been proven that you behaved badly in the situation. I totally disagree with your assessment that the banks have done nothing wrong.
The U.S.
Lloyd Blankfein paid himself $43 million the year that he destroyed the economy. This was about homeowners, yes. It was very much so about the banks also.
I'll give you the last word. Where will this end, or will it not end until the government owns everything?
Like a lot of things right now, this is going to end when people stop being willing to buy U.S. government bonds. It's going to impose some very ugly austerity on people who have not, since 2007, when the whole thing began, they have not let market prices fall so that there's a market solution to a housing crisis, which is let people sell and leave their houses.
Got it. Matt Welsh, Dennis Neal, Erica Payne, it's a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us.